Hi, this is Leon Goldberg with Community Matters, and I have another exciting guest, somebody that I actually have had on the show already, and that is Catherine Garcia, who's running for mayor of the city of New York. Catherine is a former commissioner of the New York City Sanitation Department. She serves as the interim chair and CEO of the New York Housing Authority, and appointed a food czar by Mayor de Blasio. For those that sort of like forgot the last year when we were going through the pandemic and people did not have food. And basically, while she remained the commissioner of the sanitation department, my friend Bill gave her other jobs. She gave her the job of trying to straighten out NYCHA, which is certainly not an easy job, and then to get 3 million people a day fed. Am I correct about that? Were there 3 million meals a day that went out?
A million meals a day were delivered, and half a million were distributed every day.
Every single day. Can you imagine putting that together? Even my Jewish mother would have a problem with that.
I'm sure she would have been able to step up.
Okay, so first, welcome to the show, Catherine, once more.
Thank you. I'm really thrilled to be here.
So we're getting closer to the race. We're down to less than 2 months. So far, only one person dropped out, and we still have a race, a real tough race, very difficult. And now people are beginning to pay attention. When we spoke last time, I think it was a little bit early, but now I'm starting to hear from people: who are we voting for? Who should we vote? Who should we support? And so first I wanted to hear from you. Let's just go back a little bit. You're Brooklyn born and Brooklyn raised. Am I right?
That's right. Okay. Yep. I am 2 blocks from where my mother lived.
2 blocks from where your mother is. Okay. That's good. So do you bring her over supper now? You know, does she, do you cook for her? No, you're too busy.
Yeah, she still cooks for me.
She still cooks for you. So
she cooks for all of us on Sunday. She cooks for all of us.
So my mother, we were 3 boys, until she was 95, was still making us our fish for Shabbos. Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. How long have you been working in the city and city government?
So I've been a public servant for 14 years. Whether or not that was being responsible for the city's drinking water supply, or more recently as the commissioner of sanitation, and then of course several other jobs, as you mentioned. I have been the city's go-to crisis manager as incident commander for DEP and Hurricane Sandy, as well as during COVID, figuring out how to make sure people stayed fed.
Right. And that was a massive job. Think about it, 1.5 million meals a day. And you also provided them in kosher and halal, and probably vegetarian.
And vegetarian. Kosher, right. Halal, and vegetarian.
Vegetarian. Yeah. So it's not just putting meals together, but it's actually putting in to really be able to feed the entire city. And since we have such an unbelievable mosaic in New York City, that really required 4 different types of meals.
Absolutely. It's also, you want to make sure people will eat what you send. There's no point in sending food to a kosher household that isn't kosher. Right. It won't get eaten.
It won't get eaten. It'll just go in the garbage. And I do know, because I've seen those deliveries, I've seen the people getting it, the people that were out of work, the people that were locked into their houses. It worked. It really worked. But now we're coming out of a pandemic. The CDC this week said we don't have to wear a mask outside if we've been vaccinated. How do we bring the city back? The city economically is suffering. We're at 10% unemployment. There are so many things that are being done by the city, by the government, that are just not going to help us come back. The mayor just proposed a budget of $98 billion with a lot of the things that he put in there have to be recurring. They're not going to recur because we're not going to get the money recurring. This is federal money. How do you bridge those gaps, and how do you see straightening out the city?
you know, the city's economy was just devastated by COVID. And you know, we still have more than 600,000 people out of work. We have to come back strong. And that means reopening this economy and supporting our small businesses. They are 50% of our private sector employment. And I have a plan about ensuring that we're using the public realm, that they are able to access low-interest loans or forgivable loans, that we are promoting them with Rediscover NYC so that we are first and foremost our own tourists. And then as we gain new tourists coming back, that we can begin to see the economy come back, but also supporting art and culture. We have to differentiate ourselves from every other city in the country. We're in competition. And when we bring restaurants back and art and culture back, you bring people back to their offices and you bring tourism back. But none of that happens if you don't get fundamental city services right. You have to ensure that the streets are clean, that people feel safe, that they're willing to go on the subway, and also that kids are back in school. It is a critical piece of this. And I have the skills to get that done. I understand how to make a city budget work in partnership with labor. And my concern over the budget that came out earlier this week is it isn't a long-term budget. And yes, there are strategic investments we should be making now, but we have to, at the end of the day, always remember that there is a taxpayer, and that is who we need to be serving.
So let me ask you, let's talk about some of the things that I see in the small business world. Permitting. You want to open a store. You want to build a store. And I had this with one of my tenants recently. Why isn't there one-stop permitting in the city, bringing together the Department of Health, the Department of Buildings, and all of it that, and there should be an ombudsman instead of everybody has to hire their own expediter. And they have an expediter for the Department of Buildings, an expediter for Department of Health, and a small business, in order to open up, is spending thousands of dollars between architects, expediters for the, you know, if he's opening a food store. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Yes, and I'm going to concur with you. It is, we make it nearly impossible for an entrepreneur to get started, and that we know that that doesn't have to be. I have said that there will be a one-stop permit, and if you're a small business, you'll know within 30 days. We have to get rid of the alphabet soup of DEP, DOB, fire department that just blocks entrepreneurs from able to sell a bowl of soup. I literally think it's 7 or 8 agencies before you can sell a bowl of soup. And it's about using technology, but it is also about streamlining those functions within agencies so that the business person can think about business and not about what form or letter you needed to get in.
Okay, one of the major things you just touched on, which I think is really critical, especially in our community, defunding the police, which our community stands completely against. We see the police as being essential. We see the police as being important and creating safety, which we do not have in the city right now. The subways are a disaster, and shootings are just up the wazoo. And they're happening in every neighborhood. And it happened last week in your neighborhood. You're in Park Slope, right?
Yeah.
You had a murder, you know, with a gun. You had a murder committed right on the street in the middle of the day. Nobody is feeling secure. Are you in favor of defunding the police?
No, absolutely not. You know, we are seeing an uptick in crime, you know, not only a very significant increase in shootings, but also anti-Asian hate crime is significantly up. Crime on the subway is significantly up, as well as we know that there have been incidents of anti-Semitic violence increasing as well. And this we've got to nip this in the bud. And we can have safety and reform we can walk and chew gum, and it's important because we need to make sure there is trust with communities, but that communities feel safe. So I have said since the beginning of this campaign that we need to have a police force that has clear and transparent discipline, but that we also do need to have a police force, that we need one that is working through the metrics and figuring out how to control this uptick in gun violence and working with our federal partners, with the ATF, to stop the flow of guns into the city. We cannot be a city where people start to feel unsafe. I was here in the 70s and 80s. I remember that you didn't take the subway. I remember what happens when you get mugged. It's like, that can't be what we're going back to. And I understand how to get this done. You know, I ran a small police force, the Department of Sanitation, that did carry guns. I understand how to treat them with respect and held them accountable at the same time.
There is actually, I read a report today or yesterday that police forces in the entire Northeast are not getting applicants. The people say, why should I become a cop? Everybody hates me. Everybody hates me. Why should I become a cop? So that's something that people don't think about. At the end of the day, yes, there's smarter policing that you can probably do. There's no question about that. But to make it so that everybody hates a cop and a guy should say, you know, every child, I don't want to say every child, but, you know, many, many kids, you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Policeman or fireman. That is what they say. And now?
Oh, they should say they want to be a sanitation worker. Come on.
Yes, I'm sure there are a few that say that too, especially the ones whose parents are sanitation workers, and they really appreciate what the sanitation department does. But that is a serious, serious issue. Let's talk a little bit about the budget, and then we're going to get onto Jewish subjects.
Okay.
Some of the things that are going on in the budget and really, really bother me. The Rikers Island and our entire jail population, which we've reduced by, I think, close to two-thirds in the last 10 years, and actually started on the Bloomberg, although nobody gives them any credit, but the reduction in population started on the Mike Bloomberg. It still costs $447,000 a year to house somebody in jail. The Department of not Justice, Department of Prisons, they reduced the budget by $12 million. How do we turn that around so that it's first off more humane and more effective? For $447,000, I would suggest that we buy every criminal a small apartment, a studio, or a one bedroom somewhere, and take some of that money and put it away as a pension, so he gets an income every single month, $1,000-$2,000, and he doesn't have to go out and commit any crimes. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous.
Yes, no, we need to really make sure that you know, we have a criminal justice system that we are not getting good value from. We have to change that paradigm. We should only be incarcerating those who are truly a danger to our population, to residents. But we should be doing things like diversion programs, you know, house arrest, so that we are not, as taxpayers, paying this ridiculous cost. The more we can keep people out of the criminal justice system, the much more cost-effective it is for all of us. And it's also better for the person who can stay out of getting engaged in crime in the first place. So supporting them and getting them, you know, help when they're in school, making sure that we're looking at whether or not they have a learning disability, so that we're addressing it early on. These are actually good investments we should be doing, because the criminal justice system is incredibly expensive. And, you know, one of the things that was very personal to me, because I was adopted, is that we really ensure that we are supporting foster care children, and that we are continuing, even as they get older, to try and find them permanent families. Because when they have a permanent family, they're 50% less likely to end up involved with the criminal justice system. It's a smart investment.
Wow. Wow. So even older children should be adopted, not just the little ones. Something I never really gave much thought to.
Your mom was still making you fish.
That's right. My mom was still making me fish, although we did have different young ladies who came from dysfunctional families that did live in our house for years at a time. So while we never formally adopted anybody, it's something that I do understand. Let's talk about Jewish issues. Some of the most important issues, of course, is anti-Semitism, which is really way up. And the ADL just came out this week that overall in 2020, the numbers are down, except in the Jewish community and except in New York, where the numbers are up. It's just incredible. You have people attacking Jews. You have people attacking Asians because they are. How do we try to end it? We're not going to end it, but how do we slow it down? People are afraid to walk first because of safety in general, and also because they're especially obviously Orthodox Jews who are obviously Jewish. You know, the person who's not Orthodox walks on the street, nobody says, he looks Jewish. You know, they don't see the yarmulke, they leave him alone for the most part. But when they see the yarmulke, there are many attacks, and they're continuing. They're continuing just as they are in the Asian community.
It has been really shocking, the uptick in anti-Semitism and in Asian hate crime. First and foremost, we have to stand as a city that embraces everyone, regardless of their ethnicity or their religion. This has to be the place that lives up to our values. And that means standing in rallies and ensuring that we are speaking out against it. It means making sure that there is police presence on our streets where these have occurred, tracking down the culprits, but also we need to embed in all of our curriculum a real history lesson on all of the contributions that all different people are making to New York City and have made to New York City, so that we're not treating each other as other. You know, my family is incredibly diverse. My brother, who was also adopted, is Black. And, you know, I saw diversity at the dinner table.
On a daily basis.
On a daily basis. But I also could see that there was often... we were often treated differently, and we have to make sure that we don't see New Yorkers as others, that we are all New Yorkers and we all need each other so that we can come back strongly.
So first off, let me reintroduce my guest. Is Catherine Garcia, who's running for mayor of the city of New York. June 22nd is the only date that you need to know, because you need to come out to vote on June 22nd. If you come out to vote in November because you think you might have an election, yes, technically there's an election. I don't even know the date in November, and I don't really care. And I can tell you that Catherine doesn't care. Catherine, if you win the nomination on June 22nd, are you still going to be running for office for mayor, or you basically say, I'm a Democrat, I've taken it, it's over for me, and maybe I'll appear once in a while here and there, but not take it seriously?
Oh, no, you still have to take the election seriously after June. But it also is going to give you an opportunity to really be doing the recruitment for your team. It is overwhelmingly likely that the person who is the Democratic nominee in June will win in November. But I never take anything for granted, and you've got to always ask New Yorkers for their vote.
But you're going to start June 23rd putting your team together.
Yeah, it's time. We are going to need to make sure that we have built the strongest team. So on day one, we are absolutely hitting the ground running.
You're not waiting for November 4th or 5th or 6th to put your team together. You're doing it June 23rd because you know that you will be the mayor, and that's the end.
Yep.
I just trying to drive home that, you know, that a lot of people in our community support Republicans, and in November, go vote for who you want. But in June, you need to vote in a Democratic Party to have your vote count. Just getting back to what we spoke about before, there were these anti-Semitic incidents in the Bronx in the last week, mm-hmm. really terrible incidents. And then you have a lot of the leftists coming out and saying, look at the police presence at the shuls in the Bronx. Are these people with the program? Are they smoking pot? I don't know if pot is legal yet. I know it's been legalized, but I don't know if you can actually buy it yet. But they must be doing something. How can you complain about a police presence in the Bronx when four synagogues were attacked, plus cars outside?
Yeah, no, we need... I cannot speak for them. All I know is that when you are needing to address as mayor... an uptick in violence against the Jewish community in the Bronx, of course you make sure that there's an NYPD presence there. Of course you make sure that those synagogues are protected, that those yeshivas are protected.
The same way that they did in the Asian communities. I didn't see anyone saying when the police presence, which we live... near my house, not too far away, are a few Asian neighborhoods. You saw an uptick in police. It was clear. Driving through, you could see the cop cars. You can see the police walking around. I didn't hear anybody complain about the police then, certainly not in the Asian community, but some of our far-left people are really a little bit missing it. Talking about far-left, let's talk about Israel. Far-left is supporting BDS. Where do you stand on Israel? Where do you stand on BDS?
No, I would be probably the last person to be a BDS person. You know, Israel is one of our fourth largest trading partners with the city of New York. Several companies that are actually now based in Manhattan and run by Israelis have now become unicorns in the last 6 months, which
right.
means their valuation is over $1 billion.
Right.
We need growth in this city, and there are lots of partnerships that we can have with Israeli companies and technology as we in the city of New York begin to rebuild. So I am not for the BDS movement.
So 12 companies, it was reported this week, or last, I think it was this week, 12 companies in California are Israeli unicorns. It's a lot of money. And it's a very important.
It's a lot of money.
It's very important, it's for the city.
It's cutting edge. It's cutting
right.
edge.
It's cutting edge.
It's often cutting edge.
Technologies, yeah. And it's critical for the city. The city needs to, where do you stand on helping larger businesses, not just small businesses?
Oh, I want to make sure that we are bringing everyone to the table and that we are open for business regardless of the size and in making it so they want to work here. I believe that making this a more livable city and attracting talent to stay here, to come here, to visit here, brings business here. But I am ready to roll up my sleeves and get the work done to ensure that they are successful because I know that business means jobs and we need that right now.
So do I take it you did not oppose Amazon or Industry City's expansion?
I did not oppose either of them.
I would
really like those tens of thousands of jobs right now.
I would have liked them even when the economy was good. But Industry City, it just boggles the mind. The economy is doing nothing. The economy is in the doldrums. 600,000 people are out of a job, and they were claiming to come to get 15,000 jobs. And for anybody, have you ever been to Industry City? Have you ever worked?
Oh,
around?
Yeah, no, it's lovely down there.
How many people working there are I don't want to ask you for percentage, but I think it's very noticeable. It's a very heavily minority. store owned and workers there? So are they all...
Yeah, I don't know the data, but it certainly looks as diverse as any neighborhood that I've been in.
Right. And you come in there and it's, you know, I can't say everybody's there from Red Hook, but it's... I don't think it would be right for... And that was one of the excuses that I got from one of the state senators that said that there aren't enough Red Hook employees, that he wasn't guaranteeing enough people from Red Hook were going to get jobs. So you open up a business. I open up a business in Flatbush, and I say, nobody from outside of Flatbush can come work for me. How would that sound to anybody?
Well, also, I think Industry City, I would technically put in Sunset Park, but there are times when we also need to come together as a city, and there are going to be nodes of employment that attract people from everywhere. That is actually one of the things that makes New York City so vibrant, is that the labor market and the way we can connect to jobs is expansive. It is because of our transit system that we're able to live in Brooklyn and go to work in Queens, or live in Brooklyn and go to work in Manhattan. It'd be great to live and work in your neighborhood, but sometimes your opportunities are going to be outside your neighborhood.
Right, right. One last important issue in the Jewish community, education. There is a small group that's really agitating for the state to get involved in the education of the yeshivas. And the yeshivas have made improvements, and I think the yeshivas are no different than the public schools. The public schools last year, there were, before COVID, there were 96 public schools that not one single black or brown child passed math or English. Yeshivas also have it. Everybody needs to improve. Is it something that the government should be really involved in? Should they be helping? How do you feel about that issue?
Yes, no, every child in the city of New York needs to have a strong education so that they can be successful in the 21st century. But my approach has always been that it is better to work collaboratively with different communities to actually get that end result, rather than being confrontational.
Right. They definitely have to improve. All schools have to improve. All schools have to improve. Education is the basis for us in the Jewish community. The public school system is critical, because the people that will be living near us and the people that will be working with us, and when you're an owner or of a company, the people that will be working for you or your boss, you want everybody educated. You want everybody to have the proper education. So we support the public school system immensely. Education is the basis that the Jewish religion comes from. That's it. Any final parting words that you want to say before we end?
Yeah, I'm really thrilled to be here with you, Leon, and excited about this run. I know that I bring the vision of how we are going to make New York a more livable place, a more affordable place, a place where people can really raise their families. I want to see that happen for all New Yorkers.
And if somebody wants to help you, they can go to your website?
Absolutely. I'm at kgfornyc.com. That's kgfornyc.com.
Okay. Thank you, and good luck.
Thank you. Thank you much. Take care.